This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. But given the fact that we have so many injuries, it might actually be a Hershey Bears podcast. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I am doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing better than the Capitals are doing right now because everyone is hurt. It is just, it's Ovi and a bunch of kids. That's what it is right now.
Well, I was going to make a mean joke at a Kuznetsov expense, but I won't do it. Never mind.
There are a lot of names on this roster that you're going, who?
It's been a bit weird. You've got the cap ceiling is $82.5 million. And, you know, rounding here and there, the Caps are currently sitting with about $40 million on their injured reserve.
That's crazy.
Or guys who are not playing. You know, Orlov's not playing. He missed the last game. He came out of the game before that. He missed the last game against the Oilers. And he skated today a little bit. Carlson skated today. Sounds like Oshie skated a little bit. But when you've got half of your salary cap not playing because they're injured, like, you've got some problems on your hands in terms of how your team is going to do. But to be fair, they have a very old roster. We have talked about this. We knew about this going into the season. And so there shouldn't be much of a surprise that they're having some injury trouble. They've been very lucky over the last number of years in terms of having so few man games lost due to injuries. But older players, older human beings, just heal slower than they did when they were younger. And when you're playing, when your job is to essentially get beat up to an extent for a living by playing sports, your body's going to go through a lot of wear and tear, which means it's going to likely take even longer to heal as you get older. And so it's really not a surprise that a guy who's now getting consistently injured later in his career, and TJ Oshie, is out again. He's been out for a while now. Carlson's been a surprise because he's been, knock on wood, he's been very healthy for this team. He's been out, I think he's missed, five games. Orlov is now out. It's a little comical in terms of how many guys have been out. And for a while there was every game, like, two guys were getting hurt. And if you're on the training staff for the Caps, you're like, what is going on with this team right now? But like I said, $40 million sitting out. Right now on IR or long-term injury reserve, they've got Nick Backstrom, Connor Brown, Carl Hagelin, Beck Ballantyne, Tom Wilson, TJ Oshie, John Carlson. And then you might as well add Orlov to that. He's not playing tonight against the Penguins. So it's a little ridiculous. And, you know, part of the reason this team has struggled. The other part is they're just not playing very well. They're not getting goal scoring from their forwards, and they have enough forwards that know what they're doing that they should be scoring. But yeah, this has been not an ideal start. But if you look around the East, there's not a lot of teams that are kind of like, no one's really running away with it. So there's still plenty of opportunities for the Caps to get back into it. I mean, right now the Devils are in first place. Caps are only 6 points behind them with one extra game to play. So it's not like they're out of it at this point. The Bruins are on top of the East right now with 22 points. They're only, they're what, 8 ahead of them. That's an easy week or two. You can catch up. So they're keeping themselves in it as best they can. Still early in the season. They've only played 14 games, but these injuries, if this keeps going, this is going to be a problem for this team. And it's not like they're gonna be able to just move some of these guys out. Like, who's taking on an injury plagued dude? And all these guys are getting injured, have years on their contract.
I think all of the injuries that the Capitals have right now, the most surprising one is Beck Ballantyne. He came up from Hershey and he was really like turning some heads.
I think he broke his finger is what I read today. He broke his finger blocking a shot. So that's almost when you're just like, okay, this is an audio medium, so that wasn't helpful. I basically just did like the shrug guy emoji thing where it's like, I don't know. Like, it just, like, accidents happen like that when playing, especially a game like hockey, where people are firing frozen pieces of rubber at high rates of speed. Like, things get broken, things get hurt, things get damaged.
But like he came up and was really settling in and then broke his finger. And you're like, come on, man. Like that's ridiculous. Like Oshie getting hurt. He's had a lot of injury troubles over the last couple of years. Like that's kind of expected. Backstrom's hip is pretty beat up. That's expected to an extent. But with something like that, you're just like, that's just bad luck.
Yeah.
Like, so this team is just right now, they are cursed with injuries.
Yeah. I mean, they finally win the big one in 2018, and they just, it's like the Red Sox curse of the World Series that lasted for so long. They finally win one, and then they just get cursed. But Beck Malenstein, he was really impressing people. You kept hearing his name, so it's such a shame that he's going to be out for a little bit, and he's going to miss some time. But TJ Oshie, man, last couple seasons, what, he had a lower body injury, came back, got an upper body injury, came back. I think he got COVID, came back, then got another disease that's not COVID, but knocked him out for a couple games. He's hurt again now. I mean, I hate to say this or even think this, but could this season maybe be the end of TJ Oshie's career? I know he's got a couple years left on a contract, but the amount of wear and tear on your body at this point in his life, I mean, he knows it. You and I know it. He's got more years behind him than he does in front of him as long as it's for his playing career. But are we kind of seeing the end of the beginning of the end right now for TJ Oshie's career?
So I would, and give it, this is a human being that we're talking about. This is not, you know, hockey players are real people. They have lives. Oshie's got, I think, 3 kids with one on the way. And at some point, he has to think about life after hockey.
He also has a lot of tuition to pay for, though. So he does have to play through that.
Yeah, he's making $5.75 million. That's his cap hit a year. I think he's doing fine. wouldn't be too worried for him.
And he's selling all those War Road t-shirts.
There you go. He's 30. He'll be 36 years old on December 23rd. At some point, he's got to think about his future. And I, you know, Oshie's a guy, not only do you want him on this team for his skill set, but what he brings in the locker room, his leadership, his general goofy behavior and sort of goofy personality that really gels well with his team and these players. And I think
we do
really
like
take
goofballs here for some reason.
Well, I think because you can take a sort of tight, nervous, anxious locker room and get things to ease up a bit with a guy who's kind of goofy and kind of fun. And I think you got that a little bit with him, with Ovechkin to an extent. I'm sure there are other guys we don't know about that can be a bit silly. And I think that's a benefit to this team. And, you know, if he comes out after the season and retires, I think it's going to be a big loss. And while it won't be in terms of the amount of games that he's lost due to injury, and I don't know what it means for their cap situation, but it would just be, it would be an unfortunate thing for this team, but if that's what's best for him, for his health and his life after hockey, then that's what it needs to be. But when you have this many injuries, I think it's at least a conversation he might want to be having with his wife and his family and be like, should I continue? And, you know, he probably will. He's currently got a contract for another 2 years after this season. But at some point, he's got to think about life after hockey. And he would be a really tough guy to replace on this team, not only for his offensive production, but just his personality, as we're talking about a moment ago. You know, I like the moves they made, bringing in Dylan Strome, bringing in Connor Brown, even though Brown is, what did he like, tore his ACL or something like that?
What did he play, 2 games?
He played only a few, but he's only 28. The thing, well, moves, and we're getting a little off topic, but the moves that they made this offseason, I really like in terms of bringing in a Connor Brown. He's only 28, bringing in a Dylan Strome, 25 years old. Like, these are guys that will be, and Brown's a little bit older, but like when it's time for Ovechkin and Backstrom to retire in, you know, 4 or 5 years, these guys are still going to be in their prime or just getting towards the end of their prime in a Connor Brown at that point, where you have these core guys that you can turn to, so you don't have to necessarily do a full rebuild. Yes, they could go and just trade everybody off and go full rebuild, or they can try and retool. And bringing in these guys, I think, is a really good thing. You know, Brown's injury, it's just, you know, not much you can do about. You still have a Tom Wilson who will be, you know, actually he's the same age as Connor Brown. So I like what they've been doing in terms of being able to potentially replace a guy like a TJ Oshie if he leaves after the season. But that is a lot of offensive production and a big personality in the locker room that they're going to have to find a way to replace.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to sound all doom and gloom on this podcast.
Apparently, that's my job.
Because there is some good stuff going on, but like Daniel Strome, he's really coming into his own. He's really looking great. He's maybe
I like him on this team.
Yeah, if you're taking away the goaltending right now, if you look at who's impressed the most this year, Dylan Strome is at the top of my list.
No, you know what? I agree with you. I like what he's brought to this team. I like that he is a younger guy, so he's got years. He's still got an opportunity to get better. He, you know, will be 26 later in the season in March. I don't just know these things. Like, I have it up on the computer screen here for everybody.
Yeah. And I do want to say the pairing of him and Marcus Johansson seems to be paying dividends as well.
Yeah, they were talking about that on Caps this morning. I can't remember if it was this morning or yesterday. About how if someone had said that the second line was going to be who's on the left right now on this? Sonny Milano, Dylan Strome, and Marcus Johansson at the beginning of the season, someone else would have been like, yo, this team is in trouble if that's the case. Look at Tarik. I got the Caps game up right now on the other monitor. Tarik El-Bashir looking fresh right now on this game, interviewing Ovechkin. Yeah, the game's not for another, half an hour. I can't pull off the beard where he shaved along the neckline like he's got. That's all I'm saying. But I like seeing Tarik on TV. Good for him. Anyways, so I should put on the caption so I can actually see what they're talking about. But, you know, I like having him on the team. I think it makes sense. I think going forward, they need to stop signing guys in their, you know, 30, 31, 32. You know, trade for a guy at the deadline that you think can push you over. I got that. Or if you were getting one dude. But they need to keep signing guys 24, 25, 26. They need to start building for the post-Ovechkin era. And you do that by signing guys who are just getting into their prime. So when you're ready to move on, when it's time to move on from the young guns era, that you've got this core, this new core that is in their prime. Like I said, they could go the complete opposite and trade all those dudes off and go full rebuild like they did in the mid-2000s, where you're bringing in a bunch of young guys and being seeing what sticks and who's ready to play at the next level. And that's certainly an option. But I kind of like this plan. Like, there's going to have to be some more moves coming up, especially after this season, because they got a ton of guys that are scheduled to be unrestricted free agents. In fact, after this season, every defenseman that's currently not injured in Orlov, Jensen, Van Riemsdyk, they brought up Alex Alexiev today. He's making his season debut against the Penguins. Erik Gustafsson, Favari, Irwin, they're all free agents. Alexiev and Favari are going to be restricted free agents, but that's everybody on their defense with the exception of John Carlson. And just John Carlson. Everyone else is scheduled to be, you know, getting a new contract. So there's opportunities for this team to get a little bit of a mini rebuild or retool in the offseason and kind of seeing, you know, are we going to go with a bit younger? Are we going to try and find guys? Are we going to make some trades? Are we going to bring in some younger guys? Because relying on guys in their mid to late 30s, the injuries, they've caught up with them. You know, they were able to kind of escape a lot of these injuries over the past 4 or 5 years. This season has caught up with them in a big way early on, and you've got $40 million that's not playing every night. That's half your salary cap.
Now, you did bring up Sonny Milano. He's a guy that a lot of buzz around this guy.
He needs a haircut.
He needs a haircut.
He needs a buzz. He needs some clippers.
he had a lot of talk around him when he got signed. He raised a lot of eyebrows. People were very intrigued by him. I'm hearing a lot of this could be our new version of a Brett Connolly signing, a guy that really didn't pan out on other teams and didn't have the greatest start to a career and then comes here and kind of like gets a rejuvenated act in the NHL. So I know it's been a very small sample size because he did go down to Hershey to kind of get his legs underneath him again. But since he's been called up, has he done anything that's impressed you? Is there anything that Sonny Milano has done on the ice that you're kind of like, yeah, I can see this guy sticking around a little bit?
I like him. I take a little bit of umbrage with your comment that wasn't really sticking with other teams. I'm actually surprised that Anaheim wasn't able to keep him around. He had 34 points in 66 games last year, 14 goals, 20 assists. That's not bad.
No, and maybe it was a
salary situation and he was due for arbitration or something. And he would have had an opportunity to make more money than they were comfortable spending and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, I don't know if I would say so much. It could be kind of like a Brett Connolly situation. I like it. I think he's a guy with potentially a high upside. You know, he hasn't produced in terms of goals or assists for the Capitals just yet. He got that one taken away from him from the other night, but he's also only played 2 games. So I think he's not on a lot of money. It was a low risk, high reward type situation where If it doesn't work out, you can send him to Hershey and someone else can take a flyer on him, and it's not that big a deal. You know, you still have to pay him a ton of money when he's in Hershey, but it doesn't hurt you in the same way. But if he does produce, he's not old, dude. He's what, 26? He'll be 27 in the beginning of May. So it was a great move, I think, for this team. And I think he's a great guy to have on the team in terms of potential offensive production. He was playing with Trevor Zegras last year, and that worked out pretty well. I think you've got to put him on a line with a center and some other guys that have some offensive talent and let him go play. I like this move. You know, he's done. He had 2019-2020 season, he had 18 points in 46 games with Columbus. You know, he had 22 and 55. He's shown some offensive talent, you know, now seeing if he can continually, consistently produce it in the NHL. And I hope he does, because I think this is a great move for the team. And another signing a guy who's just getting into his prime. He's still young at 26.
It's weird that he had such a successful goal-scoring run with the Anaheim Ducks that they're not keeping him around. They decided not to re-sign him. So it's very odd that the door was open for the Capitals to snatch him up. But I'm excited. When this guy did show up and everyone was buzzing about him, I'm like, all right, let's see what this guy can do. I think maybe he got called up a little bit earlier than they would have liked due to all the injuries on the team. But since he's been here, I mean, let's see what else he can do. But for two games, he has looked pretty good. Another guy that got called up, Alex Alexiev. You did bring him up already. He will be making his season debut. We're recording this the night of the Pens game, so we cannot discuss how he did or anything like that. But Alex Alexiev has been with this organization, didn't we draft him, I believe? And he's been with the team on the Hershey Bears or in some level for a while now.
He'll be 23 in 6 days.
Oh, wow. He's still a young guy. But my hope is that maybe he can stick around with the big club. He can show us what he's made of, because you've heard Alex Alexiev. You heard that name a ton, and he's looked great in Hershey, but hopefully he can make a splash here in the NHL.
I mean, he's one of their young defensive prospects. He had some injury issues. He got his shoulder was dislocated in the offseason and playing back in Russia. And, you know, that's unfortunate, because I think he was going to have a real opportunity to get on this team. And looking at this roster, the defensive players anyways, going into the offseason, the only dude under 30 years old was Martin Fravari. That's a problem when you've got a very old team. And given now the only defensemen out, interestingly enough, are John Carlson and Dmitry Orlov, guys in their early 30s. You know, Carlson's 32. He'll be 33 later this season. Orlov's 31. You're getting guys that are a bit older. And at some point, the team does need to look a bit younger. And I think bringing up someone like Alexiev helps them, obviously, in that regard. Now you have to hope that he's going to produce and he's going to be able to play well against professionals. You know, he gets to spend his first game this season going up against Sidney Crosby, one of the greatest players of all time. But he gets to play on a team with Alex Ovechkin, one of the other greatest players of all time. So there's plenty of opportunities for him tonight. You know, we'll see how many minutes he gets. And I hope he produces, because if not, you know, it sounds meaner than I think I'm intending. No, than I am intending. But I kind of hope he takes an older dude's roster spot, because his team needs to look at getting a bit younger.
Yes, they do. That's definitely something that they're going to have to do eventually. I think tonight's Caps Pens games, it's the two oldest franchises in the league right now. I think the Pens beat us as being the oldest one in the league. But I think we're the second oldest for our cast of players here. So, yeah, we have to get a little bit younger down the road. But let's talk about the guy making history, Mr. Alexander Ovechkin. Every time he touches a stick, it seems like he is making some sort of record happen. And since we talked last, he actually got two records done. And he scored, what was it, his 787th career goal, making him an NHL record for most goals scored with one franchise, beating out Gordie Howe with the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, he broke that record, or tied that record, in Detroit, I believe, the home of Gordie Howe. So,
yeah,
Alex Ovechkin, once again,
you're rubbing it in.
He's getting closer to that second spot. He's getting closer to Gretzky. But every time this guy picks up a stick, every time this guy does something, now at this point in his career, since he's been around so long, he's making some sort of history. And it's crazy. We're so lucky to be Washington Capitals fans to see Alex Ovechkin do this. And the best part is everybody says this on TV too, but it's absolutely 100% true. He's the most fun to watch score a goal because it's like he scored his first goal every single time. He's still, after 788 goals, he's still so excited to get that puck in the back of the net.
I mean, screw him scoring. Do you see that pass in the Edmonton Kuznetsov? I mean, that was a thing of beauty. His passing really has been overlooked in his career, and he's always been a very good passer. And, you know, we talk about it almost every week now. You know, he's breaking a record every other day. And it's just an amazing thing that it's someone on the team that we support, on our team. And I never really thought, you know, we've had good offensive players in the past, ignoring Jágr, but, you know, Peter Bondra was an amazing goal scorer. Offensive, really talented offensive players like Adam Oates, maybe not the best coach for this team, but an offensive player. Fantastic in his own right. You've got, I mean, there's so many players we could talk about, you know, going back to Ally Frady defensively, and so many good defensive players, Dale Hunter, Kelly Johansson. I mean, this team has had great players in the past, but we've never had someone, I'm trying to think even DC Sports to an extent, we've never had someone who is arguably the best player in their league consistently.
Right.
You know, we've had players, you know, incorporate Baltimore in that to an extent. We've never had someone that was the best player consistently in their league. And obviously this is all arguable, you know, between Ovechkin, Crosby years and year out. Obviously right now it's Connor McDavid. But looking at it, the fact that he's on the team, you know, there's what, 30 teams at that point in the NHL, and they would have the opportunity to draft him. He's so highly thought of that Florida tried to steal him the year before through a technicality in the 7th round, which obviously didn't work out. But that was how highly he was regarded, that they were willing to essentially waste a draft pick to see if the NHL would let them pull a fast one. And just the fact that he plays in it on a jersey that says Washington on the front, it's just, it's been an incredibly lucky time, and it's highly unlikely that the Capitals will ever have a player of this caliber again, or at least not for a long, long time.
Now, what did you think? The Capitals debuted their reverse retros, I think, on the Saturday game. What did you think of those, seeing them in action?
I really like them.
They're gorgeous.
I do wonder. I think I still like last year's better. And I think part of my issue with the reverse retros, both this year and last year, is that the logo that they had that has the team name on it is on the shoulder. And the one that doesn't is on the front. And I just feel like it should have been, like, the Screaming Eagle to me is a secondary logo. Doesn't have the name on it. All the logos are recognizable. But I just feel like the Capitol Dome logo, maybe that one didn't test as well, and that's why that's been the secondary logo for these reverse retros. But I just feel like that should have been the primary. But that's besides the point. I like them. I really like the black ones. I think they look very nice on the ice. Just like the horrible blue jerseys, they're bad luck and they lose when they wear them. And I don't understand what that's all about. But I would have no problem. It's not going to work out necessarily, but if they went with last year's reverse retros as the new homes and somehow had a white jersey as the new aways and then had these black ones as a third jersey for home games, thing of beauty.
I love it. I love this one more than last year's, going to be honest. I love the black and the blue.
They're not even selling them yet. I only get to like November 15th that they're actually...
And I think you can only get them at the arena.
NHL is selling any of this. What do they do? Someone explain this to me, because they did this last year. Why are you coming out with something so cool that everybody wants, and you're like, sorry, we only have like 50 available. Like, what logic in there? You're not selling them for that much of a higher price. If even... I don't remember what they sold for last year. But like... You're not going to upsell them. Like, some schmuck on eBay is going to do that. But it's not benefiting you. Why not have more so you can make more money?
I don't know. But, I mean, if they have these coming out, I really am intrigued. And I'd like to know when they're going to do the Stadium Series sweaters. Like, they're going to – it's not that long from now. So, I mean, they've got to debut them soon. But I like it. I like these reverse retros, the black and blue. I dig it. I really do. Yeah, I absolutely love seeing them on Saturday. Let's talk a little bit more about some history that Ovechkin made again. He scored his 788th career goal during the Oilers game, and that was his first career goal against Stuart Skinner. Some of these, I almost think, I wish we didn't track as much, because some of these stats are just insane. But that is the 163rd different goaltender Ovechkin has scored on in his career, and he has scored on against a new goaltender in three consecutive games, against Detroit, Arizona, and the Oilers. And this marks the seventh instance in Ovechkin's career in which he has scored against a new goaltender in three or more consecutive games, and the first since November 24th, 28th, 2008. I mean, just these stats are absolutely insane. But for Ovi to be able to do this and do this in 2022, and he hasn't done this since 2008, again, just insane and wild how much we can track, but how much history this guy can make. I mean, I know he's got, what, four more years left in his current deal or whatever, but just unbelievable what this guy has been able to achieve.
It's unbelievable whoever is able to find these stats.
That too.
Like, someone somewhere is tracking all of this. And, like, I'd love to have a job in professional sports in that regard, but not that one. Like, that just sounds incredibly tedious and be like, okay, hold on, I gotta look and see. I gotta check every single game to see if he played against this guy. And so I don't want that job. But it's crazy that he's so many different players. And this one, I mean, it was the first one in 14 years, I think I heard, that he scored three games in a row, a goal against someone he hasn't scored him before. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, who tracks this stuff? I would like to know who you are.
Yeah, I don't know. But Ovi's making history. He's doing his thing. But you actually have some news about our first-round draft pick from this past draft. What's going on with him?
Yeah, I thought this is pretty cool. I'm still going to mispronounce the dude's name, but they're sort of their first-round pick, Ivan Miroshnichenko. You know what? I had it in my head. Can't say it out loud. He was their first-round pick in 2022. He was going to be a top three, top five pick, but he was diagnosed with, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's been cleared for game action. Had a pretty nice goal, I believe, in a game this past week. Second game he played, and he scored a goal, got an assist, and a shootout winner. I think this is another one of those sort of low risk, high reward moves. You know, if you have a guy that you draft later in the first round doesn't pan out, that's all right. But it looks like this kid's got some skill, and if he can stay healthy, and hopefully he does for many reasons, but mostly himself, this could be a great move and another guy to kind of build around with this young core of you're getting to come up. Him, McMichael, LaPierre, Alexiev, Favari. You've got now this sort of nucleus that you can have come up and start surrounding them with some other pretty good players. So congrats to him getting back on the ice. Hope he stays healthy.
Anything else we should cover here in Caps world?
They made some roster moves. I mean, we talked about Sonny Milano got called up. Lucas Johansson, he got called up, got to play in the game against, I believe in the game against the Oilers. Then he got sent back down to make space for Alex Alexiev. And the Caps also, given that they've had their depth sort of depleted a little bit when they lost Axel Janssen-Fjällby to Winnipeg and Brett Leason to Anaheim, they claimed Nicholas Aubé-Kubel off waivers from the Toronto, I believe. And he got into a game against Edmonton as well. So this is it's a bit of a patchwork team that the Caps are putting out every night over the last little bit. But it seems like he's fit in well. He had a nice hit on, oh shoot, now I'm blanking on who it was on. Was it McDavid? But he knocked him, I believe, on his butt, or somebody on their butt. And, you know, we'll see what he can do. It's another low-risk move. You know, it's small cap it. He's an unrestricted free agent for the season, so if it doesn't work out, you know, you let him move on.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens with the injury-prone Capitals. Hopefully we get some of these veterans back on the ice sooner rather than later. But hopefully we have some of these young guys coming up and really blowing the socks off of some people as well and playing really, really well. So we will see what happens. Hopefully we'll see. You guys are going to know more than us, but hopefully the Pens-Caps games is supposed to be starting pretty soon as we're recording. Hopefully it's a good one. So go Caps. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past 2 weeks, Hershey went 3-1-1 with wins over the Baby Pens and Lehigh Valley. They'll be back at it with three home games over the weekend, starting with back-to-back games at the Giant Center against Bridgeport. Those games start on Friday. They'll wrap up the weekend on Sunday hosting Laval. I actually don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly every time. Is it Laval? Laval?
Sounds
Ryan,
like to
help me.
Me
out. Either way works, I guess. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 3-2 with wins over Greenville and Orlando. They did lose one game 9-3, but then they won another one 9-7. So, you know, I don't know. ECHL, clearly a very defensive league. They'll be back at it on Friday in Savannah before heading to Florida to take on the Solar Bears on Tuesday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, go Bears, go Stingrays, and for the first time this season, let's go around the NHL and beyond! All right, here we go. Like we promised, we're going to go around the NHL and beyond. Yes, there's a lot going on in international hockey as well as the NHL, so Coach Dan's going to catch us all up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
You say there's a lot going around and beyond. I think there's a lot going on right now, people being idiots in the NHL because, you know, we got a little nice little start into the NHL season, and now players are beginning to do dumb things on the ice. So we'll start in Montreal, where Canadiens forward Juraj Slafkovský, probably didn't say that right, he got suspended for two games for boarding Detroit's Matt Luff. Now, did you see this hit?
I saw you and Ryan going back and forth on this hit, and I think Ryan was calling for 10 games.
Ryan's always very dramatic, but that's why we like Ryan, because he's fun, and he's a cool dude. I just thought it was a completely unnecessary hit. Like, he didn't have to do it. First of all, Luff whiffs on the puck, which I actually thought was kind of funny, because he, like, put full power into hitting this thing and completely missed. But they just dumps him right into the numbers, into the boards. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, you could body him a little bit. You could have gone to the right side of him. Like, it was just completely unnecessary. I'm a little surprised he didn't get more, but, you know, it is what it is. But clearly, I guess he felt left out, as earlier in the week, Montreal's Josh Anderson got suspended for two games for boarding Vegas's Alex Pietrangelo. Apparently something's going on in Montreal where they just like hitting people in the back into the boards. I don't know what's going on, but y'all need to cut that out. Florida's Matthew Tkachuk was suspended for two games. Apparently, if you do something wrong, you get suspended for two games only. He got two games for high-sticking goalie Jonathan Quick. That's not nice. And then Detroit's Michael Rasmussen was suspended for two games for high-sticking Boston's David Krejci. Sonny Milano's former linemate Anaheim Trevor Zegras was fined $1,500 for slashing San Jose's Matt Benning. The Islanders' Casey Cizikas was fined $5,000 for interference against Chicago's Alex Stalock. In teams being up for sale news, apparently the Washington Commanders aren't the only one, though they might be. Actually, we thought they were going to be the most interesting. That may not be the case anymore, as the Ottawa Senators are reportedly up for sale, and the surprise name throwing his hat in the ring? None other than one of the owners of AFC Wrexham and Deadpool himself, Ryan Reynolds, would like to own the team. He was on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon saying he's going to need someone with deep pockets. I believe he and Rob McElhenney bought AFC Wrexham over in Wales for about $2 million is what I read. The Ottawa Senators is going to be slightly more expensive. I know he's got a good amount of Hollywood money and all the different companies he's a part of and has ownership stakes in. But I don't think he has professional sports franchise in the U.S. money. So
he just do a GoFundMe and we can spot him a couple bucks, right?
I don't know. Let me do a quick check. Let's see. Ottawa Senators net worth. I'm going to guess about 520 last December, according to Forbes. $525 million. So only $523 million more dollars than it cost him to buy Wrexham. So he's going to need someone with some deep pockets to join him in that one. Let me tell you.
All right. Who do we know? He's got Disney connections now.
Yeah, I don't think Disney's going to buy the Senators. That didn't work out too well for them with the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Who can we get? I mean, I know Jeff Bezos is looking into the Commanders, so there's
There's a certain gentleman based in Potomac that might be interested in buying their way into a sports franchise that he may be losing, hopefully losing momentarily. But let's move on into the world of beyond, as the U.S. Women's National Team will be hosting Canada on December 19th at Crypto.com Arena. I always find it fun when a rink's name is something.com or .org. It just makes it sound silly. Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles as part of the rivalry series of the 2022-23. Rivalry series will be between USA Hockey and Hockey Canada. They've been doing this since 2018. This will be the first ever time they play during this series in Los Angeles. There'll be 7 games in locations throughout the U.S. and Canada.
I think there's a game tonight in Seattle. Or it might be this week. I'm not positive, but I think the rivalry series is kicking off this month.
That'll be cool. And what I didn't just say this. How do people watch this, Brandon? NHL Network, so I won't be able to see it?
Yeah, it's on the NHL Network.
Ugh, come on. Who has their own network? Disney, buy them out.
Just get Sling or something, man.
No, I already got a bunch of other stuff. I'm good.
I got way too many streaming services. I'm sick of them. Mm-hmm. I don't even watch it anymore. Like, I barely watch TV nowadays, so I don't even know why I keep getting... Like, I just got Paramount Plus when I signed up for Walmart Plus. Like, there's nothing... Like, what am I going to watch? Cheers? For, like,
No, Paramount's got some footy. It's got some good shows. My son likes... He was watching... He called it the Blue Footprint Show. Talking about Blue's Clues.
Oh, Blue's Clues is a good show.
This morning, he woke up and goes, I want to watch the Blue Footprint. And I was like, you want to watch the what? What does that mean? Oh, Blue's Clues, because it's got a... He's 3.
It's fun and educational.
It's fun is debatable. I watched it for like a moment. I was getting ready to walk out the door this morning, and I was like, I am not sticking around for this one.
It's not what you remember.
Some of
as
his
a kid.
Stuff I can have on in the back. I didn't watch Blue's Clues as a kid. We're all a year apart. There's no way that was during your era, not mine.
I remember seeing episodes.
No, I definitely did not watch Blue's Clues. I was never into SpongeBob or any of that stuff. And that was
SpongeBob was past my time.
But yet people of our era watched it when they were in high school in the
late 90s,
early 2000s. Well, that's a fair point. That is a fair point. Moving back to the program, we're going to wrap up with Hockey Canada. They've named their staff that will lead the national junior team in their gold medal defense in Moncton and Halifax for the upcoming World Juniors. Dennis Williams, who is an assistant coach in 2022, he will be taken over as their head coach, and he's going to be joined by assistant coaches. Is it Stefan? Julian?
Stefan. I think it's
Stefan. Brent? I should have looked these up better before the show. Brent Kissio and Alan Letang, as well as goaltending consultant Kelly Gard and video coach James Emery. The 2023 IIHF World Junior Championship, that'll be taking place from December 26th to January 5th. That's December 26th of 2022. That's the news for the past little bit in the NHL. And
yeah, so we're a little bit month and a half away from the World Juniors. Do you see, I mean, we already talked about Ivan Miro not be partaking due to his Russianness, but do you see any Caps prospects potentially making the trip up to Halifax to play the World Juniors? Like, do you think Henrik Lapierre might actually get a shot this time, or remember what they did with Burakovsky? Even though he was in Hershey, they were like, no, you can't take him. We're working with him right now. Is there anybody you think that they would loan out for the World Juniors?
Probably, but I'm not going to remember off the top of my head, to be honest. That's a Ryan question.
Yeah. It's always fun to see some of the young guys play in that type of environment. So a little month and a half away. I'm excited. I love the World Juniors. Can't wait to see who's playing. So, hey, Coach Dan, is that the show?
Yeah, buddy. Let's wrap it up.
All right, guys. Well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff as when my children will let me. Also on there talking about Arsenal Football Club, the Bills. Hopefully Josh Allen's shoulder, not shoulder, his elbow is okay. Otherwise their season is, because I don't think that, you know, anybody can play quite like Josh Allen. Talking about the Washington Commanders and how they might finally have a new owner in the next 6 months or so. That's what's being reported right now. I was actually talking with a buddy of mine at work, and the big thing people are talking about when it came out that Snyder might finally be selling the team is like, yes, we can rebrand and get away from this Commanders thing, because that just did not land. And I'm sitting there today thinking about it going, you know what? I don't think that the new owner, if it's like Bezos and Jay-Z as like the main dudes, and it looks like Matthew McConaughey, because he's a Washington football fan. If he gets on there, I know Kevin Durant, being he's a local guy, he wants to be a part of the ownership group. I don't, unless they have a real local, like, main person on the ownership group, I feel like they're not going to care about the team name.
Nah, they ain't changing that again.
Because they really should have gone after Red Wolves. That or Red Tails was the two that, like, really tested well in this area. And then that just, they completely, of course, given it was Snyder, botched it.
I got to tell you, though, the jerseys that those guys were wearing on Sunday, top notch. I really like
the
Commanders.
What was that, the black ones?
Yeah.
You're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers jerseys?
Were they up against the Steelers?
No, they look like Steelers jerseys.
Well, I wouldn't like it then, but I like
I know,
these.
That's why actually why I'm a little confused by your comment. Because they look at them again and tell me that doesn't look like a bunch of Steelers players. Like a bunch of like knockoff. Like that's what you would find on eBay when you look up like Pittsburgh Steelers jersey and someone's selling a bunch of knockoffs. Like that's what those jerseys look like. They look nice because people have been looking at them for 70 plus years out of Pittsburgh or whatever it is. It's just this whole, they had the Washington football team and with their prior name, they had very classic, very nice jerseys, easily recognizable. They were phenomenal. And they have just completely botched it with the rebrand. The only thing I like in this rebrand right now is the circular logo. I actually think that one, but I'm a sucker for a nice circular logo.
All right, I can kind of see where you're saying it looks like the Steelers. But I like the DC flag on the sleeve, and I like the names. I like the lines above. I like the names on the back where it has a line above and below. I kind of think that looks kind of classy, a little looks like a military jersey.
Well, I think that's the idea. They went for the military representation. That's not the great way to put it, I think, but that's definitely where they went with this rebrand. And I don't think it works. They're even like, when they announced it, they're even members of the military. They were like, this doesn't make sense. Like Commanders don't. They're like, we're gonna go and take command. And like that's not what they do. Given I'm not in the military, I could be wrong, but that's what people who are in the military were saying. And so they just botched it, as they have botched everything since.
You're so mad.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, somehow that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, as you should, go ahead and check us out on facebook.com/whatthepuckpops, where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, and the Hershey Cubs. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, we were talking about the Bills and the Commanders. God, that name is so dumb. And the Steelers a little bit, you being not a big fan of that team. Is there a particular podcast people should be listening to about a team that's not a big fan of those Steelers?
That's right. If you are a Baltimore Ravens fan, you saw them beat the Saints on Monday night. Now they're on a bye week, but you know who doesn't have a bye week this week? Me and my Ravens podcast called The Call. We still got shows to do. We're talking about that Saints game on this week's podcast, and then we've got a special season review so far next week. We're going to have some fun, so definitely check us out wherever you listen to this podcast. Listen to The Call podcast. That's my Ravens podcast. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. The Caps-Penguins started about 10 minutes ago as we're recording this. You can watch that on TNT.
Score.
But you know that already.
35. Yeah, no score. We are about 2.5 minutes into the game.
There you go. On Friday, the Caps take on the Tampa Bay Lightning at home in D.C. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on the NHL Network or on NBC Sports Washington. And then they go to Tampa. They go to Tampa on Sunday the 13th, back-to-back games. So if there's any, you know, hard feelings from that Friday game, we'll pick them right back up on Sunday. Caps are up against the Lightning. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one on ESPN. And then on Tuesday, the Capitals stay in Florida. Got a nice little three-day week there down in sunny Florida. Take on the Panthers. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington locally here. And then Coach Dan and I will be back next week to review those games, all Florida games. Hopefully everybody in Florida is okay. Please take care of yourself. I know Hurricane Nicole is hitting there in the next couple days, so please be safe. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.